Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember.
Declare your independence from me, Ernest Hancock, from the beautiful desert of Sonora. This is, I'm really excited about the future. We're going to have abundance. We're going to have, well, I don't know about peace. We'll work on that. And we'll work on just an understanding. What's happened over the last few years is certainly with, I mean, it starts, imagine my lifetime. You know, I'm over 60 now, and, you know, that means I was born in 61. So I go through Vietnam. I'm a little kid. You're having dinner, and you're watching Vietnam, you know, on the television, the same freaking scenes over and over. Even as a kid, I'm going, don't they got more footage than that, you know? So, but it was just to keep the war going. It was just to keep it. There was not like a win. There was a, it was the enduring kind of thing. Then you start getting a little bit older and you have friends with older brothers that go die, kill, maimed. My uncle went to Vietnam. He came back different. You know, you have that. Then you get into Watergate. It's on TV all the time. You know, then you have, you know, inflation and Carter and oil embargo and, you know, Cold War and invasion of Afghanistan by the Soviets. And it's just, and Red Dawn, you know, with, you know, Patrick Swayze and, you know, Charlie Sheen and so on. Red Dawn. Then you look back and you go, damn, that was, you know, getting kind of accurate. Then you have, through the 80s, you know, this economic thing, which was the continuation of all of the malinvestment and all the expense and the war spending of Vietnam just kind of continue. You get inflation and you have, you know, the 80s were, you know, kind of, and then you get Iran-Contra. Savings and loans fiasco, you know, economics again. The first Gulf War. Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma City, 9/11, more war, you know, it's my life has been not peaceful. It has not been the promise. And I found the libertarian philosophy. I go, God, why is this not being done? Because it decentralizes down to the individual. And it's always about collectivizing. It's always about, if I could glean $5 in 5 minutes from everybody on the planet, we could make me rich, and then I might do something good with it, you know? So it's always this idea of collectivizing. One of the people throughout this that really had a beginning of my awareness and understanding, it was called Freedom Daily. That was the name of that little book, wasn't it, Jacob? You know, Freedom Daily?
Yep.
You know? So the Freedom Daily was like a pocket, you know, essays, you know, and articles and so on. It was before the internet, okay? You had little pocket things, all right? So you'd subscribe, and I had friends that have it, and we'd share it and pass it around and all that kind of stuff. And it was Jacob Hornberger. Jacob Hornberger from the Future of Freedom Foundation, FFF.org. And I want to show you the page here. Boom. And there's Jacob. Say hello. So we have the Future of Freedom Foundation has articles that, you know, just explain stuff to you. As you know, like James Bovard became a good friend. John Whitehead has been very helpful in a lot of different things. And then, of course, Hornberger's blog. Now, one of the articles up here, Erwin Schiff and the Compassion of Social, the Compassion, quotes, Social Security. So we're going to talk about government programs. And one of the things was, he had an article on the 27th, which was just the last couple, yesterday. And I saw it, The Disaster of Libertarian Reform of Socialism. And I know what he's talking about. I remember L. Neil Smith referred to it. He goes, "You nerf libertarians with your foam core platform." So I'm going, okay, because we were hard. So he really liked Arizona because we were really hardcore on this stuff. So we gravitated towards Jacob Hornberger, and he's running for president again. He did before, and it's just, you know, you can see where the power is. It's somebody with a bunch of money. It's like the Koch brothers, which are supposed to be libertarian, Cato, that kind of stuff, support Nikki Haley. I'm like, well, that doesn't surprise me. It might surprise a lot of other people. But you have to understand what they really are all about is kingmaking. How can we use a libertarian candidate or effort or a threat in some congressional race or Senate or whatever to throw it to the other party and have some control if they don't do our energy policy the way we want or something? Politics is a mess. It is never what they say. If they're opening their mouth, they're talking, it's not that. Jacob Hornberger is not like that. He has a hardcore principle. He is one of the first speakers we had at our Freedom Summit, the first one we did 3 weeks after 9/11, you know, by the way. And so this is, I've known Jacob for a long time, and he's been an inspiration, not just to me, but to gazillions of other people, and to the philosophy and the movement. So I want to get caught up with Jacob as we're going into the year of war and 24 election. So it's war and 24. I mean, you know, here we go. And to navigate that, you know, for us, Jacob Hornberger is going to help us understand. Because he's been paying attention. I mean, I do Freedom Speech. I go through a lot. But I don't have to scratch the surface. Right? Yep, there's a headline. Yep, that's what's going on. Yep, that's what, you know. And I just, we're building out the debt. It's that time. It's like, you know, we're out here helping. We'll do whatever and be an inspiration for a solution. Which is be more self-sufficient, get out, get out, get out. The call came from inside, man. So, Jacob, I'm just letting you monologue me. And what I want to understand and have the audience understand is your path to libertarianism, what you define that is, why it's so appealing to you, and the issues that you see the Libertarian Party compromising just to get along, go along, get more money, somebody pay of mother-in-laws, invite them to Christmas dinner still without them being too radical. Because all the stuff from the 90s that we were hardcore activists doing, all that stuff, all of a sudden, oh, you libertarians were right. Hell, you know, I even had a bunch of people, God, you're going, man, you guys were right. You know, prominent people, you know, you guys had a point. Yeah, you're kind of right, you know. But it's still, they're answering the siren song of something else. There's something, is it, we got infiltrated, we lost our confidence as a group, as a party. Is the party even the way, the philosophy, all that? And start off with your beginning of becoming libertarian, how it is that you care that the Libertarian Party itself be a beacon for something, what that should be, how it's all you, man, go.
Well, Ernie, it's great to be back with you, and you've been an inspiration for me. Thank you for your kind words, and you and I have been friends for so many years, and it's just been great to know you and go on your show and interact with you, and like I say, you've been a real inspiration for me.
Thank you.
When I grew up in Laredo, Texas, there on the border, I grew up as a Democrat. I really, when I got back to Laredo to practice law after college and law school, I was a Democrat. I really believed the government should be helping the poor. I couldn't understand why anybody would object to that. After all, it was the government's money. Why shouldn't it be free to use its money the way everybody else uses their money? And then I discovered libertarianism. And it happened because I walked into the public library of all places there in Laredo, just looking for something to read. And I find these four little books that had been published by the Foundation for Economic Education called Essays on Liberty. And I started perusing them, and it was a Road to Damascus experience. I was just blown away. And all the indoctrination that encased my mind from the public schools that my parents had been forced to send me to, it was just cracking apart reading these essays. But the distinguishing characteristics of these essays was that it was hardcore libertarianism. It was no reform of this, Social Security reform, school vouchers, immigration reform. It was just pure libertarianism. And that influenced me for the rest of my life, because I believe that the only way you're going to break through this indoctrination is with hardcore libertarianism, among other people. So I ultimately left the law practice. I went to work at the Foundation for Economic Education and then started the Future of Freedom Foundation. But over the years, I found that many people in the libertarian movement started adopting Republican principles, and especially in the Libertarian Party. And the idea was, I call it Republican Light. The idea was, and I saw this when I was serving on the platform committee back in the 1990s, I served three terms. There were people coming in saying, look, if we're going to get elected to office, we need to appear credible to people. And if we start calling for abolishing Social Security and Medicare and open borders and separating the school and state, healthcare in the state, we can't get votes. We can't get elected. So what we're going to do is we're going to move over into a reform-oriented direction, Republican Light. They called it transitional measures. Well, I resisted this from the very beginning. I mean, this is not freedom. I'm in this for freedom, just like you are, the way you started out.
Hey, what year was this about?
1990.
Okay.
Now, when I was invited to serve on the platform committee, I didn't know much about the Libertarian Party. I mean, I knew about it, but I didn't know the details. So this guy calls me and says, I want to invite you to serve on the platform committee. He had seen the work that I was doing with FFF. He knew that I believed in total libertarian principles. So he says, I said, no, I don't want to serve. And he says, why? And I said, because this is a political party. I know that all you're doing is just taking ad hoc public policy views that are reform-oriented, compromising principles to get votes. So he says, well, have you seen the party platform? And I said, no, but I said, I know what it is, just a bunch of reform stuff to get votes. And so he says, let me send it to you. Well, he sends it to me, and I was bowled over, Ernie. I mean, this was a pure, not 100% libertarian manifesto, but pretty close. You know, abolish Social Security, abolish Medicare, open the borders, abolish the CIA, abolish the FBI. I mean, it was incredible. And so I called him up and I said, man, if you'll still take me, I'd love to be in this party. And I didn't ask how many votes they got in the last presidential election. I didn't ask how much money they had, how many members they had, how much money they had. It didn't matter. I just wanted to be part of a small political party that adhered to principle and that actually calls itself the party of principle. So over time, everything changed, and it has changed. I mean, this is the resistance. It's a fascinating experience to run this time as well as last time, because nobody questions the fact that I'm running on pure, genuine founding principles of this party. But my campaign generates so much hostility. It's a fascinating phenomenon. I mean, there are people in this party that actually hate the genuine principles that I'm enunciating. They don't say Jacob's violating the principles. That's not what angers him. Right. What angers him is that I'm adhering to the principles. Yep. And I'm exposing. I mean, let me give you an example. You know, all my opponents in the race want to continue Social Security for the next 25 years, the next generation. Well, this is a socialist program. It violates the libertarian non-aggression principle, the pledge that we all take not to initiate force. It's based on taxation. It's a straight socialist program, and it takes money from one group of people to another, gives it to another group of people. And they get mad at me when I point this out, that, hey, this is not what freedom's about. Freedom is getting rid of socialism, not extending it for 25 years. And so then same thing with immigration. I mean, everybody favors the Republican position of immigration controls. Not everybody, but I mean, everybody running for the presidency right now favors this system. I'm the only guy that's calling for open borders. Well, if you go back to 1990, it was the exact opposite. I mean, it was clear in the platform. Well, it still is in the platform, but it's this movement, Ernie, toward what I call Republican light. One of my opponents said the other day, if we go with your plan for Social Security, we won't get any votes from seniors. Well, this is ridiculous. I mean, I feel sometimes like I'm a therapist grounding people in reality. Seniors are never going to vote for libertarians. I don't care how good your 25-year plan for Social Security is, especially when you start talking about opt-outs, which they all do, and giving young people a choice. There's not a chance that any senior is ever going to vote libertarian. So why even target that audience? That's where the reality check comes
in. Hey, man, I'm getting to be a senior. I'd vote for freedom.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the only seniors who will vote for a Libertarian Party presidential candidate who favors Social Security are the Libertarian seniors. But nobody out there. So what I keep saying is we need to target different groups of voters. But there's this mindset that Republicans are our target audience. This is when you hear like a small government. There's a mantra that my opponents use called, we favor small government. Well, that's a favorite Republican mantra. You know, a smaller DEA, a smaller ATF, a smaller Homeland Security. So what I'm trying to do in this campaign is just find the people that say, my gosh, Jacob's right. We need to restore the founding principles of this party and run a presidential campaign that's based 100% on principle. Now, the other thing, if you just let me continue a couple more minutes, the other thing I'm emphasizing in this, which it irritates a lot of people, is that I keep pointing out that this is the reason for the 1% vote. And you know, our presidential candidate got 1% 3 years ago. There's two Wall Street Journal polls that have already come out 3 years later stating 1%. The newest poll from California State University puts us at 0%. 0%. And, you know, the common notion and the rationalization in the party is, oh, we just haven't gotten our message out. If people knew our message, like if we got in the debates, we'd get more than the 0%.
Hell, if they knew what it was and you'd be clear about it, I want to give Jacob freaking big platform. This is, yeah, you misunderstood me when I said, as a senior, I'd vote for elimination of Social Security because I am now old enough to be able to qualify. And my son-in-law does retirement planning and whatever. You go, oh, come on, sit down, let's go through it. All right. So Donna and I, she'll be 62 in 20th of March. So we go, woohoo, how many thousands of dollars can we get? You know? So we go in and start, I mean, two, three questions in, I'm done. I'm done. I don't care. You know, it doesn't matter. Well, you have to this, and you can't make that, and you got to be almost dead and retired and got enough anyway to be able to not work. And kind of that's, you know, I don't care. But you get, I don't care. I don't care. It's kind of my money, you know, I put in, I get some back and maybe in kind, but I never expected as a young libertarian in my late 20s that it would even be there for me to get. I'm like, woohoo, man, I could get that, Dad, I don't care. And it's not that I couldn't use it. It's just so ew. And it brings you dependent in on which was the point. You know, it's a gilding of the cage kind of thing. So I just wanted to make that clear. You know, I apologize. Continue.
The point I was making is that this message of reform is the reason why they can't do well. In other words, they're by copying the Republican Party, and these are principles the Republican Party stands for: Social Security reform, Medicare reform, immigration reform, school vouchers. By copying those principles, the idea was, well, we can pull votes away from Republicans. It never works because people will not cross party lines. And so there's no constituency out there. And in other words, there's no big group of passionate voters for this reform message. For a Libertarian candidate, there is for a Republican candidate. I mean, I'll give you an example is Justin Amash. I mean, he's figured this out. He's a smart guy. He comes into the Libertarian Party with this standard reform message, you know, reform, Social Security reform, immigration, and so forth. And now he's going back to the Republican Party to run for Senate. And a vicious campaign, a primary campaign. They're going to attack him for voting to impeach Trump. Trump's going to come after him. They're going to say he betrayed the party by joining the Libertarians. Why is he doing this? Why not just vote? Why not just run as a Libertarian? He could have the nomination on a silver platter. There would be no primary fight because he's figured out that as a reform message for a Libertarian Party candidate, you get 0 to 1, maybe 2%. Over there, the reform message, he can win because the reform message is so popular in the Republican Party. So that was the fallacy, that because something was successful over there in terms of reform, that it would work over here with us. So the biggest mistake we ever made was abandoning our principles, the principles I'm enunciating. But I have an uphill battle in this fight. I mean, I feel like I'm a salmon swimming upstream in the American Northwest because this mindset of reform is so deeply ingrained in this party. I mean, it's just amazing that you go to these conventions and people really believe deeply in Social Security reform and Medicare reform and school vouchers and military reform and DEA reform. And I'm sitting there, you know, swimming upstream. But each time I go through one of these debates, almost inevitably somebody comes up to me and says, Jacob, you have opened my eyes on the importance of principle. One guy came up to me after one debate and said, I've been a proponent of border controls all my life. After this debate, you have opened my eyes. I'm now a proponent of open borders. So I'm making a little bit of progress here. I know that there's some people that really do believe in the genuine founding principles of this party, and that's what my campaign's all about, running a campaign of pure principle.
And that's why I've been so supportive of Jacob, just not as a nice guy. He can explain things well. You read any of his articles, Donna's putting some stuff up now. You know, it's like, what he said. It's rational, it's articulated well. And when you have people of strong character, that they are looking for the truth, not what Google says is the truth, the truth. I grok that, you know, I understand, I see you, you know, that you're looking for the truth of things, things that you want to share with your kids and your grandkids, things that you can stand behind, things that are solid and principled and you have an understanding of. When you can do that, you know, you're at peace more with yourself. You're not having to lie to yourself. When you compromise is death. The reason is because when you're always compromising, you're giving up a little bit more of your presence, a little bit more of your soul. You're giving up a little bit more.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump hailed the Supreme Court's ruling preventing states from removing him from the ballot, stating it will unify the country.
They worked long, they worked hard, and frankly, they worked very quickly on something that will be spoken about 100 years from now and 200 years from now. Extremely important.
Monday, the court's decision in Colorado's case barred his removal over insurrectionist claims, effectively halting similar attempts by other states. A fallen utility pole is suspected to have sparked the largest wildfire in Texas history. Several lawsuits and property insurance claims assert that XL Energy neglected to inspect and maintain their equipment. The blazes engulfed more than 1 million acres of land and claimed 2 lives. JetBlue and Spirit have decided to cancel their merger. The decision follows a federal judge's ruling that blocked the $3.8 billion agreement. John Schaefer, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
This hour, Declare Your Independence on the Free Talk Live Network is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Let's talk about your positive experiences using Dash. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and are protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. BitRefill allows for discounted purchases at national retailers. We want to thank Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use. Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. When you compromise, compromise is death. The reason is because when you're always compromising, you're giving up a little bit more of your presence, a little bit more of your soul. You're giving up a little bit more. Well, let's compromise. Okay, let's get a compromise. We would have, there was a popular talk show host in Arizona during our campaigns, and so, yeah, Ernie, you know, the libertarians, you can't deal with them. They're always goose-stepping to their platform, and they won't compromise. I'm like, well, you can say that as often and as loud as you want, you know? So this is, it's been lost. And it was the reason why I've run for national chair probably 4 or 5 times. I mean, I just always do it just to do exactly what Jacob's doing. It's just like, look, man, you guys don't see what's up. Because we have a lot of success in Arizona. The Wall Street Journal comes out, the libertarian state Arizona. We get all kinds of freedom stuff going, everything, because it was a general public opinion. It was clearly articulating and explaining certain things. Well, then, of course, you know, it's unrestricted concealed carry. You know, it's constitutional carry, they'll call it. And I won't let them get away with that, because when you come in contact with any law enforcement, you have to say, I'm carrying a gun. I mean, I'm going, no, that's whatever. But anyway, the point is that this general public opinion is shifting, and it already has, with the Ron Paul Lovolution and, you know, 8 and 12 and so on. They created a group of, you know, at least they understand certain things, or the popularity of freedom and the advocacy of it, and you bring young people in to whatever. So that is a lot of what the Republicans give lip service to a lot of this stuff, but they're not able to really understand, grasp the base fundamental principles of the positions that we take, so that you would know what a libertarian's position is on just about anything. Freedom is the answer. What's the question? You know, so Jacob represents that. Now, let's get into some controversial things. Social Security is fairly easy, or taken from some people and redistributed to other people on the promise that the other people will do you as just socialist as hell, you know. So that is a bad idea. And then, of course, during the late 90s, Republicans, well, we're going to have it private trust accounts and that you get to manage it, and we're going to let you put it in the stock market. Yeah, that's the ticket. That'll be the way to do it. Let them waste it, you know. It's just so bad. You know, we'll give you a little bit of control, give you a little bit, but we're definitely going to take it from you. Okay, we just want to make sure you know we're going to take it. So, but it's open borders. I'm an open border guy. The apparatus that you have to even do the border thing, and well, they're taking this and they're getting that and they're getting free. I go, that's the problem. Socialism is the problem. I got to tell you. And it was tainted for me in, when was it? It was like 81, 2. I was in New York City for a few months living there. And there was a Russian. We had our landlord was a Russian Jew that escaped. Her and her sons came. They started businesses on and on. Well, they had a Christmas party they invited us to. You know, even though she's Jewish, her husband was a postal carrier here, so they're allowed to have a Christmas party. So one of the guests there was Russian. He spoke English. And he goes, well, you guys aren't free. You're free to starve. You know, you're free. You can't get a job. You got to do this, that. I want to go back to Russia where at least I got an apartment or something. He was complaining about that. And I'm going, well, we're not here to give you a job, but don't want to prevent you from getting one either, you know? So it's the socialism. It is what they want to give you. Vote this way, I give you this. Come on in. Here's a check. It's ridiculous. You do away with all of that, and it's just human beings voluntarily interacting with other peaceful human beings. When I had a restaurant, they had a form called an I-9, and on there it says, I have examined the documents, and they appear to be genuine to me. Hey, man, last I knew, Uncle Sam was doing it on napkins. I don't care, you know. So this is my best employees were people that got off their butt and went to go work. So I've had personal experience for decades dealing with employees and people. Are there bad guys? Absolutely. And when you hang out a carrot and you say, all this could be, all you got to do is come over and we'll give you some in here and have an AK-47. It's just, what did you think was going to happen? And to think that you're going to be able to stop the worst of them from coming over, you know, is ridiculous. I am just that. So Jacob grew up on the border in Laredo, I think it was, right? You know, in Texas. And so yep. As experience, I'm in Arizona. When I first went to Arizona as a young kid, 12 years old in the early 70s, Hispanics and Americans lived on both sides of the border and worked on the other side back and forth, went, and it was, you know, Hispanic people working everywhere and did. It was just a free market. They send money home. Well, I don't care. It was just a totally different atmosphere, but we had to blame somebody for the socialism. And they got picked, okay? Well, they're taken from, I go, I don't care if you're from Appalachia. You know, if you're a hillbilly, southern boy, bayou, kind of whatever, and you're getting my money, what's the difference? So that's my personal I can go on and on, but I just want you to understand where I'm at, my preference. I do not see a close. Now, if you want to have a border check, you come on in, you don't have tuberculosis and, you know, and you're a criminal, or however, Ellis Island, or however you want to do it. I'm not in the details. I'm kind of fuzzy on, but the fact that it's open border, anybody wants to come here, wants to work, wants to visit, wants to, you know, they're just now having another dozen countries have stopped visas. Now, fine, I guess they check your passport or something, but you don't have to get permission to go to their country. You know, it's just, yeah, bring it. Come on in. So I'm looking at this issue, and I know no one better to articulate it and explain it than Jacob. So, Jacob, I want you to explain the principles and the rationale and the real reactions and the policies of open borders so that you can articulate. You're not Joe Biden, okay? So from a freedom perspective, as a benefit to everybody that lives in the country, for real red-blooded Americans, okay, why open borders is important. Go.
All right, well, yeah, as you pointed out, I grew up on the border in the 50s and the 60s, 70s. I spent three decades living on the border. So it's tempting to think that this immigration crisis is a new phenomenon because everybody's all hyped up about it. Actually, we've had this crisis continuously since I was a kid. It's never gone away. And for example, on our farm, at that time, it was legal to hire illegal immigrants. I grew up on a farm on the Rio Grande. We hired illegal immigrants, but the Border Patrol could come onto our farm whenever they wanted without a warrant. And if we didn't give them a key to our lock at the front gate, they would shoot it off. And this is what a police state's all about, warrantless searches. When I was in high school, I was headed to the beach, and Border Patrol agent just pulled me over at random, turned on his light, no broken taillight, no excuse, just pulled me over and said, open up your trunk. I mean, this is what life is like in a police state. So the crisis has been going on for decades. And as I've been saying for more than 30 years here at the Future of Freedom Foundation, including in my book 30 years ago, The Case for Free Trade and Open Immigration, you will always have this crisis and you will always have a police state to enforce it. There's no way around it. And as you were mentioning socialism, the reason that you have this crisis is because this system is based on the socialist principle of central planning. The government is planning the movements of people in a complex labor market involving millions upon millions of people with employers all over the United States. And as Ludwig von Mises pointed out, whenever you have central planning, you're going to have what he called planned chaos. It's because the government doesn't have the requisite knowledge that can substitute for all of the individual pieces of knowledge that everybody has all over the country. A guy in Oregon knows what he needs to harvest his crop. The government official in Washington cannot factor that in because market conditions are changing every minute. So that's why you have this crisis. And then they get angry and they get frustrated and they say, our system isn't working, so we need to crack down even more. And that's how you get this ever-expanding police state. The Berlin Wall they have down there. Now they got concertina wire, the highway checkpoints that I know you're familiar with. They finally ended up criminalizing the hiring of illegal immigrants. They figured, well, that'll cure the problem because if there's no jobs to be had, they won't come. Well, except for false documents, as you were alluding to. So this system will never work. I sit there and say, gosh, if I could just get that point across to the American people, it would give them some degree of peace because everybody paces the floor in anger over the fact that they're not keeping out these hordes of immigrants coming in. Well, my point is they'll never keep them out as long as there's economic opportunity here. And so you can find peace with yourself knowing that the system just doesn't work. Now, let me shift to the libertarian principle here. The core principle of libertarianism, as you know, is the non-aggression principle. It says that libertarians will never support the initiation of force. It's wrong to initiate force. And we even take a pledge in the party to this effect. We vow never to support the initiation of force. Well, when I cross a border, let's say going driving into North Carolina, I cross the North Carolina border there with Virginia. I don't initiate force against anyone. I'm just peacefully crossing a border. I'm not violating anybody's rights by crossing this imaginary line. Well, the same applies to any border. When you cross a political border, you're not violating rights. The person who violates the rights is the person who stops me. If a policeman on the North Carolina side says, pull over, he is now initiating force against me. He's interfering. So here in the United States, we have the greatest free trade and open immigration system in history in terms of geography. I mean, you can go all across this country and never see a border guard. It's incredible. But we take it for granted because we were all born and raised under this system. If we had been born and raised under the same system on the international borders, it would be nothing. There would be no crisis. There'd be no death and suffering. People would just be crossing back and forth like normal human beings. You wouldn't know who was a citizen, who wasn't. You wouldn't care. I mean, when you go into McDonald's today and you hear somebody speaking Spanish in the back there, you don't go and say, I want to see your papers. You don't care. And that's the beauty of open borders. It creates harmonies between people. Now no longer are people having to go in the desert to circumvent the controls. They're not dying in the backs of 18-wheelers. They're not dying crossing the Rio Grande and drowning. So it's a moral system. It's based on the religious principle of thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, treating people the way you would want to be treated. It's an economic system because it's a sound economic system because now people are benefiting from this economic prosperity that free movements of people brings. It always brings prosperity to a nation. Immigrants are like a free gift to a society because they bring because of their intestinal fortitude, the will to leave family and friends and country yes. and customs. They bring yeah. in a vitality that's incredible. It's like a free gift in terms of prosperity. So these are the primary arguments. And I've said for more than 30 years now, there is only one solution to this morass on the border, Ernie, and that's open borders. There is no other solution. And I keep hammering this down in the Libertarian Party. I get tremendous resistance, hostility, sometimes even rage. But the fact is, there is no other solution. Socialism is a failed paradigm. Immigration socialism will never be made to work. Freedom and free markets, which is what open borders is the only thing that will ever work. And it's the only thing founded on moral religious principles.
Well, we can get into that, too. But from my perspective, it's even more human. It's more basic and fundamental that I have some central planner somewhere telling me who I can and cannot fully associate with, hire, negotiate contract. I want this done. I want this much to do it. You know, we'll make a deal. Make a deal. Maybe he's a Republican. Well, maybe he's a Libertarian. Okay. You know, so I'm looking for the deal, being able, the freedom to deal, to negotiate, to do, because there are people that could, amazing talent, and of course if it's with a permission slip from the man and they're from India or China and they can code, you know, in the cubicle back there and do it twice as fast and twice as good as someone else, okay, well we'll pick that, we'll do that, you're allowed to do that, that's a central layer, we can negotiate that, there's a special category for that. You know, I'm going, says you, I go, who central plans this? I need a ditch dug. You know, I need brick laid. I need. Here in Arizona, as any of the border states, construction was heavily, you know, Mexican labor. And it went away. It became an issue because socialism diminished the lifestyle and the standard of living for so many people, they had to blame somebody. Somebody took it from him. Somebody, yeah, that guy, that dark skinned guy over there, this one, they talk funny. They got a different, you know, America was so benefiting of different cultures and like, except when they wanted to change what made us American, when they want to have a central plan. You need a central plan better. You need a Latino month or something. You know, you need to have this special holiday. You need to, subsidize this and punish that and penalize. But, it's all, if you were here for the freedom to associate voluntarily without any coercion of anybody, and it was just, and you're not going to make them hire you, you get into this union stuff and everything. I mean, you can unionize all you want, because you control your labor, and collective bargain, fine, knock yourself out, but what happens? Government goes, no, you have to negotiate with them, you have to sit down, there is, forced bargaining, there is, I mean, everything in my whole adult life, if I come to understand, is the source of it is coercion. A source of it is a central plan that somebody wants to put in is going to make your life better, pinky swear. While the whole time they're taking away your choices and options to freely enter into a negotiation with another human being. And I don't give a crap where they're from. So this is, and it's from the content of their character, the fruits of their life, that you will know them. And those are the people you want to associate with. So is it going to be a social credit score? Is it going to be a Yelp? Is it going to be an eBay rating on people? Yeah, it's called a resume, okay? It's called checking employers. It's called a pirate list. It's called something. We need to have the freedom of communication, the freedom of travel, the freedom of contract, the freedom, freedom, freedom. Because if it applies between human beings from anywhere to anywhere, it solves all the problems. What they do is with this immigration control and who you can and cannot marry, can and cannot associate with, can and cannot have a relationship with, can and cannot travel to and from, can and can't. This is why I think they needed to have somebody to blame, but it's also the world started getting too small. Right before the pandemic, it was, I'd go to Moscow. I can travel around. I have friends in Africa. I can go to kind of, the world was getting small. And with abundance and more technology and starships, going in around 40 minutes from Tokyo to New York, they're going to lose control. They already are. And they can't. They have to have some centralized mechanism to control human beings, and immigration is one of those things. Then once they get the world under their control of different countries and philosophies and races and opinions and stuff melding, once they do that, then it comes home. Just like all the surveillance and all the crap that they're doing, retina scans or whatever, and some far-off war, you think it's not coming here? Of course it is. It's all part of the same thing. It's a philosophy. It's a religion. It's, could it be Satan? I mean, this is, it's bad. The libertarian philosophy, as I came into it, and the early 90s, it was about the same time, with Jacob, and why we were so impressed with Future Freedom Foundation, the Freedom Dailies, the digest they had. It was because we were looking for someone to articulate what we knew, that, freedom's the answer, what's the question? There has to be some fundamental basic thing. Libertarianism offered that, but it was such a threat that it was invaded by these other guys. Oh, no, we got to have you, to the point that they focus on it. And I want to mention this, and I want to get your comment on it. I saw there was a clip from Klaus Schwab. I don't know if you've seen this. Klaus Schwab gets up and he goes, it's not enough that we be in control, of systems. We need to get our guys in the system, our young youth leading system of system people. We need to be, in charge of the system. But it's not enough that we be in control of the system. Because there's, and he says it, he goes, there's these libertarians that are anti-system. We got to get after them. The libertarian anti-system people are the threat. This is Klaus Schwab. Have you ever seen that clip, Jacob?
No.
Yeah, I'll pull it up, when you respond to this. And so that's what we're up against. Of course they invade the Libertarian Party. Of course they bring in their kind. Of course they, want to gaslight you, and you're not doing it right, and you're doing it wrong. You get whatever percentage at the ballot box of whatever. We can't encourage them. They never get more than 3-5%. Oh, my God, in Arizona they're getting 8-9%. What the hell happened? Well, shut the gates. I mean, it's just, I can see it. Because I kind of more on the outside looking in and, play with it and so on. But this is why I support Jacob Hornberger. Berger, he defaults to the principle. Because principle freedom's the answer. What's the question? So this invasion into the party and the control of it, and these people that come in and the reform mindset and all, that's supported by what? Where does that money come from? Where is that, you know, control mechanism? Where is, and it, there has been no proof ever. I've been doing this, got 30 years in the party, and not a single time has a repudiation of the principle or a hedging on the issue a little bit or abandonment of platform, and there's constantly in committee, always trying to change the platform, you know. Where does that come from, you think? Where's the source of that?
Well, let me go back a second. This is why I love your show, Ernie, why I love you. You really know how to just go to the absolute center of the problem here.
Skip to the end.
Hit the nail on the... Well, when you talked about control, I mean, this really summarizes everything. This huge, massive immigration control system is not just a control on immigrants. It's a control on us. That's what you recognize and you hone in on when you talk about freedom of association. They're saying you don't have a right to invite who you want into your home, into your business, who you can hire. And so the immigration control advocates don't see that it's a massive vehicle to control us. Look at the highways, those highway checkpoints. Roll down your window. Give us your papers. This is a massive system of control. And the other point I want to make here before I get to your question is that it's dumb politics. This is what's so fascinating. You see, inside the party, there's all these immigration control advocates. They dominate now. And they say, well, 90% of American people favor immigration controls. Okay. How many of those 90% are going to vote for a Libertarian Party presidential candidate who favors immigration controls? 0%. Because every one of them is going to vote for Donald Trump. Trump's going to be saying, stop the steal, number two. They're going to steal it from us. Every vote counts. Flood the ballot boxes. Don't waste your vote on a libertarian or anyone else. So that position, even though let's say 90% of the American people favor it, gets 0 votes. My position, open borders, gets the 10% that oppose this system. And plus a lot of other people that never heard the case for open borders that would come over.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming. And that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.